Welcome back to Grandpa's Tales of Terror. I know it's been a while, waiting for the continuation of Drum, but Grandpa was on a little holiday. But I'm back, and we will continue with Drum, Adante Tempo, to find out what's going on with Peter and Olivia. Now close your eyes, and let your imagination carry you into a world of fear and horror. After a night of ecstasy and very pleasurable moments, both Peter and Olivia woke up a little later than planned. Grabbing a coffee at a local coffee shop, they made their way to Samuel's store. Walking in, Samuel was very excited, even more so than before. Telling them to sit at the table, Samuel locked the door and again put up the close sign. Since it was almost noon, instead of coffee, Samuel poured himself a scotch and asked if they would like one. Peter declined, but Olivia said yes, much to Peter's surprise. Handing Olivia her glass and sitting down, Samuel told them that he was having a hard time believing what he was told and what he had in front of him. Opening up a file folder, he took a swig of the scotch first, then continued with the findings of the copper box. His metallurgist friend told him that using pieces of the iron lock that had disintegrated, he was able to calculate using electron microscopy or metallography and elemental analysis that the lock was constructed in the early 1200s. Peter looked at him and asked him to repeat what he said. Samuel looked at them both and said the lock was made back in the 1200s, approximately 800 years ago. Both Peter and Olivia sat there, not knowing what to say. Samuel finished his scotch, as did Olivia. Asking her if she wanted another, Peter then asked if he could have one also. Refilling the two glasses and filling Peter's, he brought them to the table. Sitting down again, Samuel read what his metallurgist friend had written. It is without doubt that the box itself, the copper and lead, was more than likely made around the same time period as the padlock. No one spoke. Each of them took a sip of their scotch as Samuel continued. He began reading what his linguist friend, the professor, had written. In the etchings that had been made on the percussion mallet, or bone, that I had examined and cross-referenced, there are 8 languages that I have been able to decipher and translate to the best of my knowledge. The languages are Persian, Latin, Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek, Sanskrit, Egyptian, and Sumerian. Sumerian being the oldest, approximately 5,000 years ago. The writings, to the best of my knowledge and expertise, translate to either the devil's drum, or drum of the devil. Samuel let that sink in for a while. He concluded about the percussion mallet by stating that his professor friend put in a disclaimer that he was not responsible for anything that might come out of these translations. Both Peter and Olivia sat there stunned. Olivia eventually asked, "So how old is the percussion mallet?" Samuel then told them that radiocarbon dating or carbon-14 dating was not able to determine the age of the drum or the flute. Peter looked at him and asked, "How is that possible?" Samuel stated that carbon dating can only go back as far as 60,000 years due to it being based on the decay of the carbon-14 isotope. Peter, looking at Samuel, asked, "Does that mean that the drum, percussion mallet, and flute are older than 60,000 years?" Samuel looked at him and said, "Your guess is as good as mine." They all finished their scotches with one gulp. Peter got up from his chair and started pacing. Samuel told him to grab the scotch bottle and do a refill. While pouring, Olivia asked, "How is that possible?" There was silence. Samuel then asked, "How did the research go regarding the monastery?" Olivia told him that even though she learned a lot about them, she didn't find anything regarding the box or where it might have been kept. One bottle of scotch later, Peter and Olivia made their way home. Still reeling from the information that Samuel had given them, they decided to keep the scotch buzz going and opened a bottle of Merlot and continued coming up with questions that they had no answers to. Olivia, with her glass of wine, got up from the couch and told the smart music system they had to play some dance music. Seductively, she made her way to Peter and reached for his hand. Pulling him off the couch, they slowly started dancing together. As their hips started grinding in unison, Olivia downed her wine, still holding on to the glass. As excitement rose in both of them, she dropped the glass, which fell to the floor, but, surprisingly, did not smash. Kissing and groping, they began undressing each other. She ripped open Peter's shirt, popping all the buttons while he was trying to undo the belt of her pants. They stumbled over to the sideboard that was in their living room. Peter lifted Olivia onto it, trying to pull off her pants. But as he pulled, because of Olivia holding on to the sideboard toppled over, sending everything on top of it, including Olivia, crashing to the floor. Both watched as the angel statue that she had purchased at Samuel's store crashed to the floor, the marble exploding into pieces. Getting up from the floor, Olivia pulled up her pants and dropped to her knees, upset that the marble statue was broken. Starting to gather the larger pieces of the statue, she picked up what was left of the base and the upper portion of the angel, its legs having been broken in the fall. She realized that the upper portion of the angel was hollow inside. She saw something in the hollowed area. Standing up, she told Peter that there was something inside the angel. Peter watched her as she pulled out what looked like a piece of tightly rolled up leather. They both looked at each other. Putting the angel on the coffee table, she proceeded to undo the ribbon that had been around the piece of leather. Undoing it, she recognized that it was the same blue color of the inside of the box. Putting the ribbon on the coffee table, she began to unroll the tightly rolled up leather. Peter asked her what she was looking at. Pausing for a couple of seconds, she handed it to Peter. Taking it, Peter looked at it. On the leather were what looked like dots and lines. "What do you think it is?" he asked. "I don't know," Olivia answered, as she walked to the kitchen to get a broom and dustpan. Peter said she didn't seem to be too excited about what they found. She replied she was very excited, and then commented that she really didn't like that angel statue anyway. Peter looked puzzled. Sweeping up all the broken pieces from everything that had been on the side table, Olivia dumped it all into the trash can. In the meantime, Peter was trying to decipher what was written on the leather. Coming back into the living room, she was carrying a wine glass for each of them. Placing the glasses on the coffee table, the leather was rolled out to its full size. The piece was somewhat rectangular with wavy borders. Since it was quite thin, and very tightly rolled up, it was fairly large when unrolled. The dots and lines were on both sides of the leather. The two of them were not quite sure what to make of it. As they studied the piece of leather, it didn't quite make sense to them at first, but then Olivia realized something. She pointed out to Peter that the dots ran vertically, and sometimes there was a dot on the right side of the vertical ones. She also mentioned that there were different combinations of the dots, but never more than 7. Jumping up from the couch, she went and brought in the box and put it on the coffee table. Opening it, she took out the drum and bone, then the flute. Looking at the leather, she positioned her fingers on the flute on what she thought the positions would be according to the dots. Putting her lips on the flute, she blew. What came out was absolutely horrendous. Stopping, she looked at Peter with disappointment on her face. Looking at the leather again, Peter said to her, "What if the dots are open, but where there are no dots? Those are the flute holes to cover." Putting the flute back on her lips, she tried Peter's suggestion. The music that came out was something neither one of them had ever heard before. Putting the flute down, Olivia kissed Peter very passionately. After a minute or so of Olivia's kissing, Peter gently disconnected himself and asked what she thought the short lines might be. Chuckling, she casually mentioned maybe they were drumming strokes. Peter looked at her, then the leather. Picking up the drum and bone, he looked at the short strokes and started tapping on the drum. Peter jumped up, excitement in his eyes, and said that she was correct. So, knowing now what the symbols meant on the leather, Olivia picked up the flute. After a couple of practice sessions and getting the flow of the music, they played the first tune several times, each more passionate as they played, even dancing to the beat of the drum and wallowing in the sounds of the flute as if they were possessed. Still on the high and excitement from playing, the two of them left everything on the couch and went to the bedroom for frenzy-driven sex. As they left the living room, both Peter and Olivia failed to notice the flies starting to congregate on the exterior side of the picture window.